we do have Jerry DePoto now, and I'll ask you right off the top, Jerry, I don't know if I've ever seen a player whose stats belie what he brings to the game. Now, D. Gordon has great stats, batting .296, 21 stolen bases, but he's so much more than that, especially when you watch the broadcast and how much he brings to the clubhouse and the dugout.
You hit on it, and we've been saying that since the very start of spring training. Once we had a chance to get to meet and know D, there's so much that he brings, the energy, the leadership. He's so enthusiastic every day, and he picks his teammates up when they're down, and it's become infectious. So I really do think that the energy our team has played with this year, and in some way is rooted with D, with Gene Segura, with Mitch Haniger, with so much positivity every day, and D's kind of the ringleader.
Jerry, what'd you think about the bounce back from your team in this series? You sweep the Orioles, and there might be some people that are saying, well, the Orioles aren't very good, but still, those are road games that you're playing there. Coming back off those tough series against New York and Boston, and we see in the games themselves how your team continually comes back, and then during a four-day stretch, we saw it in a series, too.
Yeah, that's what this team does. It's a very resilient group. They do bounce back well. You know, obviously, they're in New York. There's a game in there we should have won, and we cost ourselves. And there was another one in Boston where we had a pair of sizable leads that we blew. And for the guys to get off the mat and come back and first win that game in Boston on Saturday, where we played very well, and then come in here against a team that has a very powerful lineup and a very small ballpark. So, there are no gimmies in this league, especially when a team has had a ton of success in years past, like this Baltimore group. Fortunately, we caught them when they were down, and we played pretty good baseball. And again, even including last night, bounced back off the mat when we were down, and this team continues to show a really impressive level of resolve.
Hey, Jerry, I was listening to the 26th episode of Wheelhouse that you did with Aaron Goldsmith. And first of all, a couple of questions out of that. You're on this trip back there. I know you took your wife with you. You're eating, tobacco-smoked pork chops and things like that. I mean, and your team comes off this sweep. I mean, you got to just be having a blast right now.
Yeah, it's not hard to have fun when you're winning. And it's particularly not hard to have fun when you're winning in the big league. It's a great job in the worst of times. And right now it's just fun for everybody.
One of the things you talked about was Nelson Cruz, and I guess I'd never heard it put this way. He's got a really simple swing, doesn't he? And you were talking about how you think he can be good into his 40s. And you've told us that before, that he is a better older player than he was a younger player. Three RBIs today. And ever since I heard you say that, I've just been watching his swing. It is very compact and pretty simple. And talk about Nelson Cruz and that swing.
It's so simple. It's direct. When you get the big guys like Nelly, the 40 homer hitters, they tend to be long. They have to generate more bat speed, more length through the zone to create leverage to hit those home runs. Nelly belies that. He goes out there, he keeps a nice, short, almost singles hitters type compact swing as the bat gets to the zone. And it's only when the barrel gets in the zone that it just explodes. And that's where the kind of the uphill path takes its turn. It's very simple. Gene Segura is very similar, very direct to the ball. And when hitters have that kind of direct path, so little goes wrong in their swing, you tend to not see extended slumps. And Nelly's so big and strong. He takes care of himself so well. And he's incredibly smart. And, you know, what he's doing in his late 30s is impressive and I think very sustainable.
And I heard also that he's on the no-meat diet.
Yes, he gets his protein from beans. And you know, I can't even imagine how many beans he has to eat to fortify the size of his body. But, you know, he's doing it. And he's doing it. And he's fit. He is loose. I think he's running now as well as he has since I've been with the Mariners, which is a fun thing. And he's such a good person that you can't help but root for him. And it's really easy to like Nelson Cruz.
Well, he's turning 38 on Sunday, and boy, just seeing the two-run homer today, the three hits, the three runs batted in, and getting the insurance run there for you in the 10th inning, the 4-2 win over the Orioles. But so how do you weigh this out? We're always sitting here talking about football players being in the last year of their contract. We talk about it during the season. Should the Seahawks extend so-and-so, such as Earl Thomas? with baseball players such as Nelson Cruz being in the last year of the contract? Do you just wait it out till the end of the season typically?
You usually do. Once the season begins and pending free agency, it's really a distraction when you start to negotiate with free agents in midseason. And I think all parties would prefer to just wait and see how it plays out. We know Nelly's a great player. So much of our success has been contingent on what he's done over these last 4 years. He's been terrific. It's truly one of the best free agent signings in recent memory. Return on the value of that contract has been terrific. And, you know, hopefully he continues here for these next 3-4 months and propels us into the postseason.
Well, I tell you what, we've talked, Jerry, on our show on Danny Dave and Moore about how he may be the best free agent signing in the history of Seattle. I mean, including all sports. So just done a good job. And another guy that you signed is made a trade for is Denard Span. Talk a little bit about what he's meant. I see he's 296 now as a Mariner. And slightly better. I mean, we knew coming into this trade that he was a little bit behind as far as his average goes, but what he has brought to the team, he's come up big in this last series.
He really has, and truly since he arrived. Denard is a really smart player. You know, the experiences that he's had in the game, playing on winning teams for a long time, and you see it every day. He shows up. He's very balanced. He knows who he is. He's a great teammate. That didn't take very long to figure out. And like we talked about with Nelly and Gene, with the simplicity of their swings, Denard is very similar. There's not a whole lot that goes on with his swing. As a matter of fact, there's probably less of a load, less of a back move with his swing to create momentum than just about anybody you'll ever see in the big leagues, not named Gene Segura. It is very direct and to the ball. He probably tracks the ball into the strike zone longer than any hitter I can recall seeing. He's so patient at the plate. The quality and smartness of his at-bats have been really something to see. And like last night, when he comes to the plate in those situational hitting type moments where a sacrifice fly, getting a runner over, scoring a runner from third with less than two outs, I have as much faith in Denard Span to get the job done in those scenarios, regardless of if the opposing pitcher is right-handed or left, than just about anybody we have.
Boy, Jerry, how's Scott Servais handling that? Because I wonder when Span came over with Ben Gamel being a left-handed hitter playing an outfield position as well, whether each player would get enough time, would they get into a slump, would they get hot? But it seems like it's benefited both guys. Span hitting over 300, as Dave mentioned, with the Mariners. Gamel with three hits today, and whatever Scott's doing, it seems to be working.
Yeah, and that's kind of the story of Scott's season. Whatever he's doing seems to be working. He's had a great year as a manager, and you know, most if not all of the buttons he's been pushing have been the right buttons. And you know, this is a good group, a good problem to have when you have depth like that. And right now in the outfield, we do. I think he's done a wonderful job of keeping both Denard and Ben connected to good streaks. Ben now is, I believe, also north of 300. He's approaching an 800 OPS, hitting the ball as hard as he has at any point since he joined the Mariners back in August of 16. And it's really exciting when you have a young guy who's playing, let's call it semi-regularly with Ben, and playing so well, and a veteran player with the kind of savvy that Denard has, and you see them all interact and rely on one another as teammates as much as they do. There's no animosity. They're all in there battling together, and I think Scott's doing a great job of figuring out when to get them in there.
All right, I want to throw three things at you and find out which one you think is most impressive and most sustainable. The Astros are plus 174 in this run differential. The Mariners are plus 14, and yet you're 20 games over 500. That's number one. Number two, you're 8-0 in extra innings. And number three, you're 25-11 in one-run games. Jerry, which one is most impressive and sustainable to you?
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. You know, as I've said to you guys throughout the course of the spring and summer now, it doesn't really have to be sustainable. It's in the books. You know, we've got 51 wins, and they can't take those away from us. So, you know, maybe today our 51st win starts the moment in time where winning by two runs becomes our new thing. A lot of what has happened through the course of this season has been due to the character, the resiliency, the resolve of this club, and a lot of times belief and the team gelling the way this team has. And I said it when Cano went down due to the suspension that this was that potentially that galvanizing moment for the team. And I think that's exactly what happened. And you know, this is not the first time in baseball history that a team has been exceptionally good winning games like that. The one-run games, the extra inning games. I can tell you, having been on the other side of it in 2012, these Baltimore Orioles with Buck Showalter had a very similar trait. The 2016 Texas Rangers were very, very similar in that regard as well. So I don't know that we have to count on sustaining it. It's in the books. We can just we can be whatever new iteration of the Mariners we want to be starting today. And maybe that's a team that wins by two every night.
Yeah, or three or four. That'd be good. No, I'll tell you what, man.
All of those.
It's been exciting. It's been really fun. And I think now fans are starting to get to the point where they expect to win those games, much like your players. Jared, do you ever look at the other side? Because we're looking at the Orioles and talking about this before we came on the air. Baltimore, I mean, they've got Rasmus there now, Machado, Trumbo, Davis, Scope, who's a really good defensive player. I love watching him play. And yet they are just slumping with those types of players. And do you ever look at the other side and just, you know, try to figure out kind of what's going wrong? Or what do you think when you see a team like Baltimore with all that talent and this record?
It's such a talented league. And, you know, I did, the Orioles have had a nice 5-6 year run of success, actually 3 playoff appearances, I think, in about a 5-year stretch. And eventually, I guess what goes up must come down. And, you know, they're running into that a little bit this year. And it's some of it's due to pitching. Some of it's due to underperformance. Some of it's due to just simple bad luck. And you need all three. You know, you need the pitching, you need the good luck, you need the guys that step up and overperform in those moments in order to be a postseason type of club. Not everybody is built like the 110-win juggernauts that we see in the American League right now. There is a such thing as being a good team that has more realistic numbers than maybe the Nintendo type stuff that we're looking at with the Astros and the Yankees and the Red Sox.
You know, Jerry, I look at baseball as it's great because you get to play every day. And the other thing is you can forget things pretty quickly. Kyle Seager, the month of June, and great defense to go along with all this, by the way. Maybe the best defensive year I've seen him have. Last night, he's the second lefty to hit a home run off of Britton since 2014. 247, 17 RBIs, 6 home runs, and 5 doubles in the month of June. Seems like Kyle's got things worked out. Have you talked to him or something that you see that made it click for him?
No, Kyle is his own best coach, so to speak. And I think that's when big league players are clicking, they are their own best coaches. And, you know, he's a tinkerer. Kyle tinkers with his swing. He's constantly trying new things. And he doesn't take slumping lightly. He cares as much as anybody. And while he slumped, you know, the two things that he managed to do was he still provided power and drove in key runs, especially on the road. And he's played gold glove type defense. I agree with you. This is the best defense that I've seen from Kyle since I've been here. And I think he's always been a good third baseman. So, you know, he was able to do those things. And now we're starting to see more than subtle signs that his bat is starting to click a little, especially toward the tail end of this road trip here in Baltimore, most especially. The at-bats make more sense. And I think it stems back to an at-bat he took against the Red Sox over the weekend. And it was a 9 or 10 pitch at-bat. He just battled, and found a way to get the bat on the ball and do something positive. And I feel like in that moment, he may have found something, and it clicked for him because it's been a really positive run for him ever since.
Well, he didn't start today. He came in late in the game. I guess that suggests that the toe injury is pretty minor, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, minor as much as avulsion fractures can be minor, but it's a similar injury to what D. Gordon experienced, though not quite as bad as Deeds. And I guess fortunately for Kyle, he's not as reliant on his speed as D. And I say that seriously. Mm-hmm. Kyle is Kyle's more about hitting it in the seats and making the great defensive plays than he is about stealing bases. But you know, at this time, we don't anticipate him missing much, if any, time with it. We gave him the day off today as a precautionary move, and obviously you saw him in there at the end. And Kyle's a tough guy. One of the things that I think goes unnoticed through all his time here with the Mariners is the fact that he just gets on the field. He plays his 150-plus games every year like clockwork, and you really can't take that lightly. It makes it so much easier to plan rosters and lineups, et cetera.
As good as you've been, Jerry, a lot of speculation that you need another starter or another reliever. How difficult will that be? And, boy, there's a lot of teams that are have-nots this year, but I imagine it's going to be difficult to get one of those guys. Boy, it'd sure be fun, though, Jerry, if you could bring Blake Snell home. I don't know if you can make that happen or not.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain he's not available. But the only real concern we have with our starting rotation is as the innings start to pile up. There are a couple of guys in there that are going to go or wind up in innings zones or thresholds that they've never been to before. And we want to be conscious of that. And if we have the ability to add depth in our pitching staff or even spread out our rotation, we're not particularly looking to replace anybody, because they've all been really strong contributors to what we're doing. And, you know, the one guy we needed to get on track was Felix. And I feel like, you know, for the last five or six starts, Felix is really starting to find himself. And, you know, that's been an encouraging development. I'm not sure how Wade LeBlanc can be much better than he's been. And that's been a great development. And, you know, his last two starts aside, where he really had to grind through it, Marco Gonzalez has been terrific all year long. So, you know, Leak does his yeoman-like work, and he makes seven innings go away really quickly in competitive outings, and I think James Paxton's an all-star. So it's a good group of five. If we have the chance to go out and augment it, we will, but we're really not out there looking to replace anybody. They've all done such a nice job.
You see, Jerry, that's what happens when you have a really good year. You know, the Segura trade, Haniger, you bring over Span, you have the success with all the trades, and then you get guys like Jim going, hey, why don't you go get Blake Snell? Or, can you bring us Giancarlo Stanton? Right? I mean, there's the pressure's on now, right?
I'm 61 years old.
Direct Babe Ruth.
Yeah, Jerry, I'm 61. I've been watching the team since 77. I want to see a World Series before I go, so I'm just trying to help out a little bit if I can.
I do appreciate the help. There's no question.
Jerry, let me ask you a question about Edwin Diaz. And over the weekend, I know that they did a national broadcast, and Tom Verducci was on. And one of the things he talked about was the way that Diaz comes off the mound. And I used to throw shot put in high school, and it was like you tried to make your body into a whip, right? And that's, to me, what it looks like with Edwin Diaz, especially if you look from above. It looks like he turns his body into that and just coordinates it just perfectly when that ball comes off the end of his hand. What is most impressive about the way he throws to you?
The whip, the looseness of Edwin's arm, I guess the moving parts in his delivery, it's physical stuff, it's nasty movement, it's really deceptive because of how fast his arm is. But I think the thing that has impressed me most with Edwin, like so many of our players this year, is the resolve, the bounce back ability. And here more recently, as he's gotten that real good feel and handle for his slider again, is the efficiency. And the last step for Edwin to really become that elite level type closer was that strike throwing, the repetitiveness of his pitch qualities and the efficiency in the innings, where, you know, we used to get those 25 occasional 30 pitch outings from Edwin. You're seeing fewer and fewer of those as he matures, and that has been really impressive and so good to see. It takes a ton of pressure off the other guys in that bullpen, and no, he's got 42 appearances, so he's on an 80-plus game pace right now, and that's what happens when you win all these close games. Hopefully we can get a couple of the other guys going and give Eddie a couple of days off here.
Rick Riz reminded us yesterday, Jerry, when we talked to him about Jay Buhner and what he said in 95 about, hey, forget about this wild card stuff. Let's chase down the Angels, who were leading the AL West at the time, and let's get after it. I'm putting that out there just because I'm wondering how you feel about going after the Astros this year. It seems to be that most people are thinking, boy, the Houston Astros, how are you going to beat them? They're going to eventually win the AL West, and the Mariners should just be okay with getting the wild card. And if I recall right, Jerry, it seemed like early before, after, at the end of the season last year, you suggested that the Mariners aren't quite as good as the Astros yet. You were real candid about that. But how do you feel about your team now and the chances of staying with Houston and maybe overtaking them in the stretch?
advice in regard to staying with him, we're doing it. So it's a, you know, the answer to that one's easy. We've, you know, here we are 82 games in and we're doing that. And you know, I think every one of us from opening day to this point, it'll be this way until the end, is focused on winning the division. You know, that's what we want to do. And all of us realize, and I don't think it's us, the Mariners, that the Astros are the best team in baseball. They're defending world champs. They've got any statistical measure you can look at, whether it's the efficiency of their starting pitching, the dominance of the offense plus pitching staff, or the staggering run differential. They're really good. And, you know, that being said, sometimes the best team doesn't win. Sometimes it's more about the character of the club on the other side. It's the team that knows themselves and rises up at the right time. And you know, we've shared first place. We've been there this year. We've done that, and hopefully we have the ability to rise up again. We've come through a very tough part of our schedule, and I think we've done just about what we could have hoped to do, and we're staying right there on their tail. And I think there was a Clint Eastwood movie, Once Upon a Time, where, you know, the guy's riding in the sunset, just hanging in the background. And, you know, if you give us long enough, maybe we'll catch up.
Extra points for Clint Eastwood. Yeah. Clint Eastwood reference there. Hey, Jared, it's been a long road trip for you, but a fun one. And cannot tell you how much we appreciate all the time and how gracious you've been with us. Really appreciate it.
Nah, it's always a pleasure. It's a lot better when we win, and that's been happening a fair bit here.
Right on. Have a good trip back. Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, fellas.